I'm going to read tonight from the book of Exodus, reading from the 16th chapter, and I'd like to begin reading at the 14th and 15th verse. And keeping in mind this evening that this has to do with the children of Israel and their beginning of their great worship, and their walk with God through a very, very important juncture of their historical move through the wilderness. It's wonderful what God can do for his people if we would believe him and trust him. And this evening we must recognize that our God, not only did he take them through this wilderness journey, but I believe he is here on this side of the centuries, being the same God in miracle and power and glory and goodness as he was in those centuries that have gone by. I appreciate his love tonight. I know that God is wonderful and gracious and glorious. Amen. Let's see what he did for a few moments. Let's walk back a few centuries of time and look into the account that's given to us here in the book of Exodus. In the 14th verse of the 16th chapter, here are the words. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man. And according to the number of your persons, take you every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. In lieu of time tonight, let's read verse 26. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, it shall be there shall be none. And then in verse 31 and 32, the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Israel. It has been said by different ones that I have read about that they are questioning the credibility of all of the accounts of the miracles and blessings of God that was given in the beginning. And when we read such things like I have read to you just now, when we see the crossing of the Red Sea, when we see the provisions that God had made for his people in this particular circumstances in which they dwelt, there is an effort to question the credibility of the Genesis and the Exodus and the Numbers and Leviticus, and all through as we walk through the accounts of God's great marvelous work in the beginning. I'd like to suggest to you this evening, however, that either there was the crossing of the Red Sea or there wasn't. Either there was the plagues in Egypt or there wasn't. Either there was the provisions that God had made with his mighty power, or there wasn't. Either God really opened up his will and his purpose for mankind in the beginning, or the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, and the five books of Moses have no particular meaning whatsoever. But I come to this side of the centuries and walk into this 20th century, coming up out of the prophet Joel, where the Bible says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I happen to believe in miracles tonight. I happen to believe in the incredible tonight. I happen to believe in the supernatural operation of the Spirit of the Lord this evening. And I believe this is the hour that we Pentecostals should come to the center of the stage, so to speak, and let the world know that there is still happenings around the world that will absolutely astound the individuals in our known religious system of our times. Hallelujah. You'll notice here in the book of Exodus that I've read, this same chapter in verse 32, the Bible says, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that you may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness and brought you forth from the land of Egypt. First of all, I would like for you to notice tonight that there was the miracle of creation, the great miracle of creation. God just simply created the manna. He just simply rolled out his hand, and there it was. It was the manna that was baked in heaven's bakery. No men had their hands in this dough. This was supernatural food. This was something that had in it the little round thing called manna. It had all of the vitamins, the nutrients, all of the minerals that there was a need for the sustenance of the body, all of it to sustain the individual. That's all they needed. It was all in this little round thing called manna. And of course, it tastes like wafers made with honey. And he said, I want you to notice here the miracle of creation. Have you ever stopped to consider that at this juncture of their history, that there was approximately 2 million people that God was feeding this supernatural food with? He was feeding the manna, 2 million people. An omer is, of course, a pint, and a pint weighs a pound, and each person had 6 pints per day, or 6 pounds of manna per day. So then, if you were to find out how much it was, multiply that by 2 million, and you'll find out very soon that you have 12 million pounds of manna falling in the wilderness every morning. And I'd like to say that it was fresh every morning. Yeah. Amen. It just wasn't stale bread. It wasn't something we could buy, tasty bread and all of that. It was 12 million pounds of manna falling every morning for 40 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell me that God is not a God of the incredible. He's a God of moving the mountains. He's a God of provision. He's a God of maintenance. He's a God of the creation. Hallelujah. He can cause young men like this one over here to stand and say, I found him real to my life. And I feel him tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost this evening. The God that provided the manna, blessed their soul, give them clothes to wear, sustained them, kept them, is the God who walks into this 20th century and says, I have something for it. I have miracles for it. I have power for it. I have the Holy Ghost to give it. I have healing to give it. Hallelujah. I have all the blessings of the Lord God to give it. Praise the Lord. And I feel him tonight. He's a God. He's a God that wants to move our mountains out of the way. Hallelujah. He can help you when you're down. He can lift you up when you're discouraged. And when you're looking at the gray ceiling above and you're laying on your sick bed, let me say there's a visitation of God that comes into your room and says, here I am. Hallelujah. I want to help you. I want to lift you up. I want to give you strength that you've never had before. I want to be a God to you, and you'll be my children. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's a real God tonight. He's a God that walks the corridors of men's soul. He moves into buildings like this. I feel him walking around here right now. Hallelujah. We haven't come simply to exercise our religious faculties. We have come to open our soul to the winds of the Lord as it moves from corridor to corridor, as it moves from the back to the front and then forward and moves around here. You can feel something in a Pentecostal church. And I'd like to say, woe be us tonight if we shut out all that God wants us to have. If we close out the winds of the Lord, if we close out the moving of the Spirit, we're in great spiritual jeopardy. But praise be to those that are opening the door wide in the midst of all the formalism that's going on. God, let me feel your Spirit one more time. Let me feel the moving of God. Let me feel the winds of the Holy Ghost. Let me feel you moving, Lord, and know that you are a God of miracles and a God of glory and a God of power and a God that lifts me up, hallelujah, and touches my soul and thrills my life and makes me something, hallelujah, that I need to be in Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, I feel him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say thank you, Jesus, tonight. Oh, bless his name. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. He's a thriller of my soul. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be here right now. Hallelujah. I'm feeling his presence right now.
Yes.
Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel what I'm preaching about this evening. Hallelujah. 12 million pounds falling down every morning. And you know what happened to them? Here's the miracle of creation. God created it. Here's the miracle of distribution. How did he get it around? Amen. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you see the bread trucks going. If you're ever up at that time, you can see the bread trucks making their way to the bakeries. Amen. Way in the morning. They're trying to distribute it. And they got all kind of organized ways to distribute the bread and put it out so it'll be fresh every morning. But God just had a way to do it. Amen. When that Israelitish family would lift the tent flap back and look out on the ground, it just happened to be that heaven's truck rolled by. I might say more than that. It was like this. Did you know that 12 million pounds will fill four trains 60 boxcars long? Four trains 60 boxcars long. Can you fathom that in our little minds of rolling into Israel every morning and dropping it out on the ground? Hallelujah. The rumbling of the trains. Hallelujah. Night has come. The birds have gone to roost. But the little baby said, Daddy, I'm going to have some fresh bread in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to have something to put on the table in the morning. Sit down and eat it. Nathan, the miracle of creation and the miracle of distribution. Don't you know, friends, that whether you're weak, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're bond, whether you're free, God has a way to distribute to you every spiritual thing you need. If you need encouragement, he's got a way to get it there. If you need inspiration, he's got a way to get it there. If you need the moving of the Spirit on your soul, God has a vehicle in which he can get it there. He has a pastor. He has elders and saints and deacons and all the rest. He has a church and a way. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's a God of miracle power. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to move around. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's got a way to get it there. If you need healing for your body, God has a way to get it there. It's a miracle distribution. How they can drop it around for 12 million people, I can almost see the trains and hear them coming across the horizon. Move the clouds back out of the way. Watch the angels as they move the clouds back out of the way. Here they come, rolling in every morning before daybreak, during the night hours. Hallelujah. All of heaven's ovens was going strong, and God in his infinite wisdom and power was moving up and down the halls of heaven itself, making all the manna they needed, dropping it out on the ground and feeding them. 12 four trains 60 boxcars long, rumbling to the corridors of Israel, distributing to everyone as they needed. 6 pints per pound, or 6 pints per person. That's exactly what it, right there it was. There's yours, and here's yours. Amen. There's yours, and here's yours. God didn't miss a soul out of 12 million. Hallelujah. And think of out of the millions that graced this United States and around the world, God had enough power to give me the Holy Ghost in Western Kentucky and baptize me in Jesus' name. He had enough to give me. He knew just exactly how much to give me. And let me say tonight, he knows exactly how to fill my vessel right now. He knows how to lift me up right now. Oh, hallelujah. He's a God that can move. Yes, he can. Hallelujah. He can stand you and make you somebody when you wasn't anybody. Won't you praise him with me right now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I may be preaching to new people, meeting a new family of God, but I something about it that just connects us tonight. Something about it that says this is all right. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Ghost moving around here. Bless his name. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, heaven's trains is rolling through this audience tonight. God wants to move in here. He wants to fill this place. He wants to stir your soul. He wants to move outside. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Miracle of distribution and the miracle of maintenance. Hallelujah. Maintenance knows how to keep them when the storm is raging. How to take care of them when everything seems to be going wrong.
how to lift them up when they were down. Here they was, and they said, and then the Bible says, here's the thing I want you to notice. And by the way, I'm preaching about the wafers made with honey tonight. Hallelujah. In case you haven't found out what I'm preaching about yet, I'm preaching about the taste of the honeyed wafer. Hallelujah. And it tastes like wafers made with honey. For you see, everything about the Lord is beautiful. Everything about the Lord is good. Everything about the Lord is outstanding. Everything about Him that changes you from darkness into the light, that brings you out of sin into the church, that lifts you up when you're down. You see, friends, you never know what it's like to be in until you've been out. You never know what it's like to be rich until you've been poor. You never know what it's like to be well until you've been sick. You don't know what it's like to be down or up, until you've been down. You don't know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost until you haven't had it one time. Hallelujah. But when I got it one day, it was like the Lord rolling those trains right up beside me and say, here's all of heaven's blessing made fresh during the night. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance. I began to smile and shout praises to His name. Yes, I still believe in shouting. Hallelujah. I still believe in exercising our religious faculties until the Lord gets the praise out of this room this evening. Until He's praised to the highest heaven. Until He's praised when nobody else has praised Him. Let's praise the Lord. When nobody else, hallelujah, is going to praise Him, I'm going to praise the Lord. When nobody else is going to sing for Him, I'm going to sing for the Lord. When nobody else is going to give a word of testimony, I'm going to praise His name. He's everything to me tonight. He's my rock and my sword and my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Oh, hallelujah. He guides the stars nightly through the sky. He controls the endless tides of the universe. He heals me when I need Him. He lifts me up when I need lifting up. He's Alpha and He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He moves me tonight. Bless the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling right well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. There's moving around here.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is working.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe I'm just trying to stay a little bit more elite tonight. But I'm going to have to turn loose. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to let the Lord move here. He wants to move in this place. He wants to drive out all unbelief. He wants to heal every sick body. He wants to lift up every discouraged soul tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad you asked me to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is here. Train loads are rolling in. Greensburg, get ready. Hallelujah. Four trains is on its way. Thank God you still believe in miracles. You still believe in power. You still believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost. You still believe He heals a sick body. Oh, yes, He does. Hallelujah. He knows what I need tonight. Glory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to drop it down in Greensburg. Well, here it is. Roll the side of that tar back and let it out on the ground, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We haven't been touched by a revival so long that sometimes the birds are building nests in our altars. Sometimes we don't even know what it means to really feel the winds of the Lord. Feel the move of the Spirit. I'm saying, Lord, revive us around the country. Revive us in our soul. Revive us in the local assembly. Revive us where we need reviving. Let the trains roll by. Let the Holy Ghost move. Let the glory of the Lord shine down. Let us be something you want us to be. Hallelujah. We need reviving tonight. We need a new look. We need a new look of what ages. We need a new look. What He wants to do, even here in this house. Hallelujah. He wants to move with His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus until tongues of fire would dance across the audience. Hallelujah. And the moving of the Spirit would set upon each of us. Sometimes we haven't felt the Spirit of the Lord in so long, we wouldn't know what to do if a tear really did well up in our eyes. We wouldn't know what to do with it. Hallelujah. We wouldn't know how to take care of a little tear that might roll up in our eyes because we've been so estranged from God. We've worked our own plans and made our own maneuvers and went our own way, friends, until it's time to come back to Jesus. It's time to come back to Calvary. It's time, hallelujah, to have a reviving in our soul. Baptism of fire, until we have an anointing of the Lord. And it doesn't come outside of the truth. It comes within the realms of Pentecostal truth, namely the one God in Christ Jesus. Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, as the Spirit of God give the utterance. Holiness and living, walking with God, feeling His Spirit, catching the heartbeat of the Lord God, until, Lord, You have sent a whirling, moving revival to thrill our soul. Move our soul, Lord. Let our instruments become aflame with the Spirit. Let our soul move as God moves on us. Let the testimony have a new ring in it, Lord. Let us not give vent to weakness or magnify our problems, but lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to excuse all of our professional critics.
All right. Well, maybe I said something wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I'm at home.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Glory. We have those we can't please.
That's right.
Those that's too loud or too soft or too high. We just can't seem to please. Hallelujah. We have the professional critics that grace our assemblies and says, I don't like that, and I like that, and I don't like that, and I like that. And just sort of move their influence around. Amen.
All right. Come on.
I've
right.
Never been here before. I never talked to your pastor. But friends, I say it's time that we excuse the professional critic. Amen. And those that would enter engage in what the church can't do, I want to tell you what it can do tonight. I want to tell you what it should do. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It can do something because it's ordered of divinity. It's in God's plans.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah. Let me get on with the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel Him right now. Glory. His grace is sufficient for us. Oh, hallelujah. Look what they did. They filled each man an omer and kept it inside. God said on the Sabbath day, on the day before the Sabbath, I want you to get enough to last. Don't get any more. And I can almost see some of them as they said, well, we don't have to practice this daily. We'll do something else. And they went out and got everything they could and brought it in and set it back under the cupboard and put it back in the jar. And they thought, well, now in the morning when the rest of them's out there getting some manna, we'll just fool them. We'll go back and we'll just open up the cupboard and take the jar out and open it up. Let everybody look at it. Amen.
All right.
Praise the Lord. And we'll just let everybody look at it. But I want you to know, they was not obeying the Lord.
All right.
See, it's in the technicalities that we obey Him. It's when He blesses us. So they laid back on their easy lounge, you know, and while everybody else was out there working, they said, we're going to pull the trick on them this morning. We're going to just sit back in here and get it all ready. We're going to go, ha, ha, ha. When we lift the jar up, and there it is. Do you know what happened during the night? You probably know. Amen. Something began to work in that jar. Something began to work. They couldn't eat it because it wasn't fresh. They opened the top on it because they hadn't done what the Lord had told them to do. They thought they would just rush in and walk into God's dealings and walk into God's ideas and plans and form their own and formulate their own opinion. When they opened up the top of that jar, the odor filled the room so bad that they wasn't able, they just couldn't eat it. They had to throw it away because it was spoiled. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. You've got to take care of spiritual things according to God's way. And don't let it spoil. Hallelujah. Don't let the Holy Ghost spoil. You say, well, how can I do that, Brother Sizemore? You can do that by entering and engaging in all the works of the flesh, which the Bible says there are 72 of them. There are 72 works of the flesh that if you don't allow the Spirit to move and you just be satisfied with the blessings of God, that thing can spoil and you can become so cross and so irritable that you won't let the sweet Spirit of the Lord flow through your life. Amen. But blessed be His name tonight. There are some folks around that says, I love Jesus. In spite of it all, I love Jesus. In spite of the trials, I love Jesus. In spite of the storms, I love Jesus. In spite of sickness, I love Jesus. In spite of down settings, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. In spite of the cupboard being bare, I love Jesus. In spite of no job, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Him in the daytime. I love Him in the nighttime. I love Him when I'm going to work. I love Him when I come home. I love Him when I sit down with the family. I love Him when I'm away from them. I love Him when I'm well. I love Him when I'm sick. I love Him when I'm inspired. I love Him when I'm discouraged. I love Him all the time. He's the lover of my soul. He's the inspirer of my very being. He's my total work tonight. And how I love Him, and all I need is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me say, friends, let me show you something quickly tonight. Maybe you have never made this connection before, but if you'll turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, amen. I feel a freedom to preach tonight. I feel the moving, Brother Schmidt. Hallelujah. 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 I feel like we're in revival right now. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to notice chapter 11. Have you ever stopped to make this connection in the scripture? Chapter 11 of the book of Numbers. And the Bible says here in the very first verse, the scripture says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. The verse 4 says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall save, who shall give us flesh to eat? For we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Notice this. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. That's all. Every time they lift the tent flap up and look out, that's all they had on the ground. Nothing there but manna. Amen. Nothing but manna. But that's all they needed. That's all they needed. And they wanted to make a variety of the table. They wanted to set the table with the delicacies until they said, well, we remember we could have a menu when we were in Egypt. We had the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. What a menu. What something to remember. If it had been fried chicken and roast turkey and things like that, we might have been able to sort of excuse them. But they just said, well, here, we remember the melons and the garlics and the onions and all that. What is that to remember? But it wasn't the remembering of it so much as it was they just simply excited their Egyptian appetite. They simply wanted what they had in Egypt. They was not pleased with the one round cake of manna, which all of it was in. So what happened? Looky here, what happened? Verse 7 says, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it. Now look what they did. They wanted to make it more acceptable. They wanted to have a variety on the table. Have you ever been places? I have. As a minister, I've been places where the dear folks fix four kinds of meat, 15 kinds of vegetables, two or three kinds of pies, and then said, would you please eat? Could you imagine? And you know, the southern hospitality is sort of the middle section hospitality. Well, I wasn't in the south, I wasn't in the north, I was sort of in the middle. And those dear folks, I'd go to those a few years ago, we used to go home with folks after dinner or after service on Sunday for the dinner, and men would all stand outside, you know, under the trees and talk and sit on the front porch, and the rest of the folks, the lady folks, would go in the house and fix that big meal. And being a young man, I always stood back out of the way, and I finally got one chicken leg and a biscuit or something like that. That's about all I had. But they had such a spread set, such a big spread of variety, that you couldn't hardly believe it. It just, I don't know if some of you can remember those days or not, but there was those days. And you see, what happened here, they wanted to have such a spread. The Bible says, and the manna that they took it, they was going to put it in pans and beat it in mortar and bake it in pans and made cakes of it. And when they put their hands to it to add what God had already done with it, they changed the taste of it. And the change of the taste was like, I want you to know the grand old prophet stood and said, no, they're not drunk like you suppose they are, seeing this is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and we're not going to improve on Joel's way. There's no way, friends, you can improve on the prophet and on the work of God. There's no way you can take Joel 2:28 out of its context and make it acceptable among religions of our time. It's still Joel 2:28. Amen. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. I will do it. And there's no way that we or anyone else can improve on God's way.
Hallelujah.
We're trying it.
We're
trying it. We have it all wrapped up in a little bundle and very beautifully tied with a ribbon and say, world, here it is. And we have come with our programs and our ideologies and all of our incantations and all of these things to try to improve on it. But I say, friends, there's no way you can improve on a Pentecostal service until you're letting the Spirit move through it, until it's touching every soul. There's no way you can come and make it programized and all the rest and make it acceptable. You'll change the approach. You'll change the mood. You'll change the mold. And you'll change the message if you're not careful. But it's the same old Bible message, the same old manna, the same Lord Jesus, the same power, the same glory, the same Holy Ghost. And there's no way to improve on it.
All right.
When the Lord comes down and whirls around with his power, and this brother feels something, and this one, and the other one back there, all in the room, hallelujah, you can't improve on it that way. We used to think we could tune our musical instruments better. I played the guitar, and my family and I sang. We thought, well, we'd learn it all, you know, and fix it all up. It doesn't work. Whenever God's withdrawn from the move of the Spirit, and he sat on the sideline, and we come out here on the platform or stage or whatnot, and we do our own little thing without anything relevant to the Spirit, what we're doing is taking that manna, putting it in ovens, baking it in pans, kneading it in troughs, and we're changing the taste of it. I still say, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I still say, take everything you want to take, but give me what I felt when I first came to Jesus, when I found him at an old altar of prayer, when I found him when the dust would fog up out of the carpet. I found him, hallelujah, when we didn't have beautiful things and we didn't have all of these. I say, praise the Lord for it, and I'm behind it 100%. I believe we'll hopefully build a new church in Cincinnati before long. We have 22 acres of property right in the middle of the city. God has honored and blessed the people. We had almost 1,000 people there last Sunday night, or last Saturday night, honoring our 31st anniversary service. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, friends, we're ready to go. This is the time to come uptown. We're not to be held back in little street corners and little converted storefront buildings. This is a time to walk down the main street. Hallelujah. But don't try to go downtown without the goods. Hallelujah. Don't try to present it unless you've got the moving of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, until God takes over and the Spirit moves. Don't change the taste of it.
Yes, sir.
Come back sometime. I'll have to meet your pastor. Oh, hallelujah. I hope I make it to Anderson tomorrow night. I'm supposed to preach over there tomorrow night at the youth rally. Oh, I'll tell you. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Glory. I still know what it takes to be converted.
Yes, sir.
I know what it takes to be saved. I know it takes a moving of the Spirit. It doesn't always work in the same way. Sometimes we may sit and cry and worship. Other times we may stand right up. We had a man Sunday night. Yes, it was Sunday night. We had such a glorious blessing. One young man come down out of the choir shouting. He almost got his foot tangled up in the microphone. Amen. But he made it all right. We had another older man sitting right over here who has had a pacemaker put in his heart and some time ago, and up he came like a bobber on the water, and out across that aisle he ran all the way around the back, all the way down two times, and sat down and still worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody was afraid, you see, and they looked on and said, wait a minute. But God kept the pacemaker going just right. Hallelujah. It didn't run any faster. It didn't go any slower. So he might as well shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why shouldn't he? When I saw him just a few months ago, he was looking up out of that hospital bed with intravenous bottles hanging all over it. And he said, if I can get out of here, I'm going to praise the Lord. If I can get out of here, I'm going to worship his name. I'll grant you tonight that most of us have said the same thing. If we've been sick, Lord, if you'll make me well, I'll worship you. If you'll get me out of the hospital through this operation, I'll praise your name. But we come right back to the same setting, same scene, same song, second verse, and no more. Moving. Hallelujah. But I say, God, move on us. Let us keep our promises. Let us keep our... Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I wouldn't preach this way if I didn't feel the freedom to preach it. I know you don't know me and I don't know you folks, but I can tell you I love you already. Hallelujah. 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 God is wonderful. We don't need to change the taste of the wafer. We don't need to change the mode of baptism. We don't need to compromise with the world. We need to say, here it is, the whole cluster, the whole book. Hallelujah. 66 books. It's fresher than the morning's newspaper. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. The weather report for tomorrow is already written. What's going to happen to the United Nations and around the globe is already written. I know it. Oh, hallelujah. It's fresher than the morning's newspaper. It's not just a book to press flowers in and to keep the gas and electric bill in. Amen. And to thumb through and tear up all together. But it's a book that'll take you through the storm. It's the manna that comes down from God out of heaven. Old John wrote about it. The Apostle John, when he opened his book, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. John, you see, brought him up from his natural lineage. But Matthew opened his book and said, there's 14 generations. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go all the way back to Abraham. Then to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. To Jacob on through the 14 generations. And now he said the birth of Christ was on this wise. Matthew brings him up from the earth. And John just simply reaches up and brings him down from heaven. For it is humanity and divinity mixing together in one carnal human flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here he is. God and man, human and divine. Father and Son, hallelujah, all in one, one in all, hallelujah. He has the whole world in his hand tonight. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got this church in his hand. He's got the dear saints here in his hand. He's got the young people in his hand tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hand and praise him with me now. Bless his name. Just the other day, last Monday night, I was invited to a large, big, beautiful church. If you ever ever see us, I want to show it to you. Right in a little clustered place, our church is in a little community called Carthage in Cincinnati. You know how the little towns are in a city. And it's called the Carthage Apostolic Church. Well, right around the corner is a large, beautiful structure, and it's called United Church of Christ. So last Monday night, a week ago, this past Monday night, they invited me to come over and be with them in the Carthage Civic League to pray, mind you, a bicentennial prayer. And I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray a bicentennial prayer. Really? I said, I'll come.
I did. I said, I'm going to go.
Well, right around the corner from us. Right around this. You just go right out of our church and right across the parking lot, and you can see it. I thought, Lord, help me to pray. I'll buy something this way. 200th birthday of America. And there was a Catholic Monsignor who was raised in the community. He was going to give a homily. That means a short message or short theological capsule. And someone's going to give the history of the community. And another church down the street, the Nazarene friend of ours, down the street, he came. And there was about six of us. And we just gathered together there in the building. I thought, well, I'm not going to be ashamed about this truth. I'm just going to go right uptown where it is. So, when I walked in the door, sir, I talked to the pastor of the United Church of Christ, big deal of construction. I said, would you please be kind enough to tell me how many you folks have coming to Sunday school? He said, well, our average is good. Said, we have 56. Our average. They've been there 75 years, and they have 56. He said, by the way, we noticed there's a lot of cars over there around your place. Last Sunday morning, a week ago, we had 735. Trying to get them in a church that seats 400. So they said, what have you got going on? I said, we're where the action is. We love the Holy Ghost. We're unashamed of the divine truth of God's Word. The Nazarene friend said, we're going to send a delegation up there to see what you're doing. I said, bring them on up. Bring them on up. Because I'm not ashamed. The great truth. It's a beautiful message. It's a perfect doctrine. Right? It's a perfect doctrine. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to try to put my hands to it and change the taste of it in this generation. Amen. I believe it ought to taste like a wafer made with honey. Here's another intriguing thing. Not long ago, several men in the city invited me to go on a retreat with them. Eight of them were Catholic men. Two of them were Presbyterian. And the others, I think, were Methodists. They were men of what we would commonly know as significant, or men that were known to be of great influence in their profession. Some of them were industrial salesmen. One of them owned a fabricating plant. The other one was in the church furniture business. And the one that owned the property, which was a large, beautiful A-frame building on Rocky Fork Lake in mid-Ohio. And he had a 168-acre farm up there, and this thing was built on a beautiful bluff way up on the side, and you can step out on the back catwalk around the back and look 50 feet down. And I never had got to do anything like that. I said, I'll go. And I went. He said, we have heard of the great moving of the Spirit, and we would like to know more about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said, you're talking to the right person. Well, I said, I'll go. And I got excited, and my wife and I got excited, and our family, and I told the church about it, and I said, I want you folks to pray. I'm going with these men on a retreat. They're taking their Bibles and I'm taking mine. I'm taking revelation. They're taking knowledge. We're going to put it together. So, to make a long story short, I was quite excited about it because I'm being raised in Western Kentucky. I only saw the bluffs without a house on them. And I never did.
I really never saw the bluff, you know, on a beautiful A-frame right up on the top of a beautiful setting. And I come to find out that the man that owned it was a millionaire. When I found that out, I really kind of began to shake. I said, well, there's no use doing that. He doesn't know it, but I'm a millionaire too. I don't mean financially, but I mean in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit. Well, they said, can you play any musical instrument? I said, yes, sir, I can play a guitar. I can play an accordion. I can play the piano, play the organ, play a violin, fiddle, whatever. I said, by the way, I'll bring the accordion along and I'll play it. So we all got up there, and it was a new venture for me, and I told the church to really be praying. New venture for me. And they said, we'll bring some songbooks. And I thought, well, they'll bring some songbooks. And I play the accordion by ear, you know. Now, what am I going to do? So the time came at about 8:30 in the evening. We began to sing. And he said, would you get your accordion? And here's the book. And they gave me the book. Well, the Catholics had made the book up. And I wondered what I was going to do. When I opened the book for the first song, it was Ave Maria. And I swallowed two or three times. I knew I couldn't play Ave Maria. And the next one was, I turned it over and said, Oh, come Holy Ghost. I said, pardon me, friends, but I don't believe I can play that song. I thumbed through that book and it had all the kind of odd names you ever heard of. Strange. Strange. Do you know they have the songbooks and they have all the names kind of funny and odd if you ever look through one of them. But they come over there to one, I thumbed through it real quick, and I said, let's sing this number, gentlemen. This is a good number. We'll play it in the key of G. Let's sing it. And it was Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my King. I said, I can play that one. I'm familiar with that one. Then we turn on over and it had Amazing Grace. Just woven through that songbook was enough songs for me to play. Otherwise, I would have been terribly embarrassed. They said, let's gather around and discuss this great Pentecostal message. We have Joe Sizemore here. He's the pastor of the Carthage Apostolic Church. Would you stand on the floor? And we'll give it to you. And for the next 4 hours, from 9 o'clock in the evening to 1 o'clock in the morning, I taught those men about the wonderful message of baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. One of them said, sir, talking to me, and he said, sir, would you give us an explanation of the Trinity? Do you believe in the Trinity? I said, well, sir, let me ask you a question. I said, you believe in one God in three persons. We believe the Bible teaches one God in one person. And I said, furthermore, if you will re-examine the prayer that you pray in the rosary, it simply says, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And they say that about 10 times every time, that's the way they pray. I said, by the way, sir, who was she the mother of? He swallowed. Said, Jesus. I said, but your prayer says God. Oh, yes, I see it. I understand. And right there on the side of that bluff, in that A-frame, that man began to have revelation of who the mighty God was in Christ Jesus. Now, to make the furthering of this story a little shorter, maybe I'll come back and tell you more. This man came by to see me, the millionaire, and one other businessman in the city said, let's just us three go back. So at about 6 weeks ago, I went back up there to the same place with this man. I had all the saints of God to write my prayer request, put them in a letter, and get everything ready. I was going to go and pray. I wanted to go pray. I was going to go by myself. He invited me, gave me the key, and said, it's yours. You can go up there on a 168-acre retreat, you and your wife, or you can go by yourself, and there alone, you can get alone with the Lord. I got them all to write the prayer request. Wrote them all out. I had a bundle of prayer requests about this thick. I took them with me, and he said, I don't know if he was a little concerned whether I'd make it all right in the A-frame home or not, or, you know. I was a little apprehensive because you had to have two keys, one to open one gate, and you go about 10 feet, one to open another gate. Then you had to have another key to open the house. It was way back, folks. This wasn't little stuff. Did you know that when I went this last time, this other man, businessman who owns a store in the Gold Circle Mall in Cincinnati, he had already received the Holy Ghost, but he didn't have any revelation of Jesus' name, and he wanted this man to receive it. We prayed about 2 hours, the three of us, and did you know this millionaire began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave him utterance? Amen. And the man cried like a baby, and we read those requests. He didn't know. I said, please pray for Sister So-and-so's children. And we laid it down, and I prayed for him and prayed for him, and the Lord touched him. Now he's arranging right now to get all these men in the city around there to come to our church just as soon as we can get them together. And I say that's a miracle. And I can say this, let's don't approach the whole scene today with trying to change the book. It's all in him. Let's stand.